This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and today my guest is none other than J.R. Portman from right here at Shop Marketing Pros. And today we're going to be talking about this idea of building great teams. But before we get into the podcast, I want to stop and thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss, shop management software that works the way you need it to right out of the box. Are you ready to convert clients to members? AppFueled specializes in creating custom apps tailored specifically for auto repair businesses. Build client loyalty. Get started today with your own customer loyalty app. Visit appfueled.com. Hey, JR, how's it going?
It is awesome, as always. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here today. So many of you who are listening, you know JR because maybe you have spoken to him on a discovery call. Maybe you've met him at a conference. And if you know JR, you know just how high quality of a person he is. And to say that he has been integral in helping to build an amazing team and an amazing culture here at Shop Marketing Pros would be understating it a lot. So I'm really excited to be able to talk to him about this today. So welcome, JR.
Thank you. And thanks for the wonderful introduction, Brian. Yeah, appreciate it.
Obviously, like I say, you've played this huge role in building the team and the culture here at Shop Marketing Pros. You know, what is the first thing that a shop owner needs to understand if they want to build a great team?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, this idea of building a great team, typically people think it's all people, and it is. But I think one of the things that it took us, you know, you and I, Brian, have experienced this over more than a decade of building a great team, and it's like a never ending thing. I think the big lesson that a shop owner should realize is that it's not entirely controllable. There's a lot we'll talk about not that you can do it, but I kind of associate it to a nickname, you know, like whether or not you want one, you're going to get a nickname, right? And if you're a parent, when you're naming kids, you think like, all right, I'm going to call him this, but you know, if I call him Richard, you know, they're going to call him whatever. It's one of those things that will happen in your shop one way or the other. So it's not BS. Like culture, you may think, oh, it's one of these, you know, kid talking about all these youngsters want a good shop culture, but like it is going to happen whether or not you want to. So all you can do is kind of help direct where it goes. But yeah, it's going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah. The automotive industry, it's a little bit different than our industry. You know, we're doing marketing. We're predominantly, you know, females on our team. You know, you get into the automotive world and, you know, it can be different. You know, I mean, there's a huge shortage of technicians, for one. I know there's a little bit of argument about that in the industry as whether or not there's actually a shortage, but it's kind of hard to deny that there is. You know, there's a shortage of blue collar in general. And I know that a lot of shop owners, because it's so difficult to hire, they will just hire like a warm body, you know, someone who's breathing and can fix cars. And, you know, they're hiring for skill and not anything else. I know it's a difficult situation, you know, hiring these people, but it's got to be a terrible way to hire, is only on skill.
Yeah. And I know, like, we're not talking, so we're a marketing agency or whatever. But there's a lot of parallels, right? Like, we, highly skilled marketing people are rare to find. So if I just relate that to a highly skilled technician, you know, an A-level tech or whatever, this is going to be one of those things that like, it's maybe not true or not, but there's this reputation of they can write their own ticket. They can have a big ego because they know they're the best, and they can kind of like push you around as the owner to get what they want, right? So this idea of hiring for talent versus hiring for character. Now, the character side of thing, well, what does that even mean? So I'm a father, right? I have two young sons that are 10 and 12. So a lot of these lessons I will relate to parenting. But do you want to raise a child to be more interested in like just being able to adapt and building those kinds of grit, determination, those kind of character skills, which are the kinds of things I would hire for? Or would I just want them to be really good at one thing and that kind of stuff? So I'm a big believer. It took me a while to get here in hiring for character versus hiring for talent. And in our own company, Brian, you know this well, we have some examples of people that we hired that had zero marketing talent. In fact, I think for the longest time, we didn't have anybody in the company who actually had a marketing degree, right?
Yeah, that's true. Because especially early on in the business, I want to say that it was a strategic thing, you know, for hiring. you know, the person first. But the truth is early on in the business is those are the people that we could afford. We knew, you know, okay, we can hire this person that has a, like, they're just a really high quality human being, but they don't know how to do marketing, but we could teach them how to do marketing. And, you know, they were teachable and they, you know, were just a nice person that was enjoyable to be around and all of that. And we could teach them to do the marketing side of things. And I really think that that kind of ended up being a foundational thing in the culture that's been created here.
And look, I'm a huge, myself personally benefited from that. It takes boldness, you know, so you yourself, Brian, like I've told this story to anybody that will ask how I started with Shop Marketing Pros, but I was on my own. I just was tired of being on my own. I was looking for a place and you did not need, I came in and talked to you guys. We were kind of, I was doing freelance photography for Shop Marketing Pros back when we were generalists and stuff. And you just offered me a job without knowing that there was a position for me. You knew, and you said, you tell people this, that you knew that I was a good person. Now I did have some talent, I will say, but you didn't even know what you needed. You know, you just knew that I would be the type of person that might, you had a good feeling about me. You followed your gut. And obviously it's a great thing for me for the past decade.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a great thing for us too, you know, and when I look back on it, it was from the outside looking in, it was a foolish thing to do because we did not have a position for you. We didn't even know what you were going to do, but we saw this really awesome person that we knew could make a difference in the business. We didn't know what the heck it was going to be, and that you were someone that we would just want to work with and enjoy working with. And I mean, I remember when you came in, like there was, we didn't know where you were going to sit and work. And I remember literally telling you to figure out what your job is going to be because we didn't know. And now 10 years later, I mean, you rose up to be our chief operating officer for a period of time and, you know, then moved into a sales role and, you know, now are the chief revenue officer. And for quite a long time, you know, because we're an EOS company, have been the integrator in the business, which is like the most important position for a visionary. You know, it's like, this is the most important person. So, you know, I look back on it and it was foolish, but man, had we not done it, what would the business look like now? And we're talking about you and me, but also like, I don't want to leave Kim out of this because especially on this side of things where we're talking about building a great team, I was the person that didn't believe in like all that culture stuff. You know, it was just, I was a technician. I worked in multiple shops, you know, that some of them were fairly toxic places and I didn't care. It was like, what's my paycheck look like at the end of the day? And that's what I cared about. And I tried to bring that same attitude into the business. And thank God you and Kim were there to be like, there's a better way to do this.
Yeah. And I think there's a cost to that. Like, so that's any, I mean, I know we're talking about the automotive repair industry here, but literally any business is like this. Any, you know, if you're trying to run a business, if you have employees, they want culture, whether you want it to be there or not, and they will make one. And oftentimes it will default to hating the person in charge. Like way back in the day when I have a degree in photography and stuff, and I end up working in a big camera store in LA. And I just remember this now that I worked in the film department. That shows how long ago this was because it's film, but it was me and like, I don't know, eight other people or something like that. And we were unified by our hatred of the floor manager. And now I look, she was a nice lady. I don't know why we hated her, but we were creating our own culture, you know, and that's the standard, complain about work or whatever. And this is a problem. I mean, this is getting back to shops. This is the root problem that, you know, you can get yourself into where like you feel like you're on an island as an owner, just trying to get talent, trying to get people to work. And they're all grumbling, complaining all the time. Like that's a miserable place for everybody to work.
Yeah. And we had that type of culture, you know, back when we were a generalist agency. We didn't just start out with a great culture at Five Stones Media. It took some work to create the culture that we have, because I remember back in the day and it's like, okay, yeah, you know, there were people in the agency that they hated me and Kim. Looking back on that to now, I could never allow myself to own a company with that kind of culture again.
Yeah. And I think another thing you were asking earlier, like what does it take to get there? It's a long road. None of these are like, well, all you have to do is there's always, we always want silver bullets, but I mean, we've kind of created a great culture, but gosh, it's almost accidental. Sometimes there are big shifts. I mean, definitely people is at the heart of it. You know, we as an EOS company, one of the books that you're supposed to read is The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. That's a short book if anybody's never read it. But, you know, one of the parts of the book, this lady who's kind of the main character, who is like the guide guru, she talks about a mistake she made. She had a superstar on her team. And this person was like, she was talking about a retail thing, but it very much could be an A-tech, you know, someone that's been with you for a long time, just great at doing the work and doing that, just so talented, but had a horrible attitude and all this kind of stuff. And she said, basically, she got fired by the upper level management because she kept that person. Like sometimes you have to, there's very hard choices before you can even get into creating a better culture. You have to sometimes press the reset button.
You know, when it comes to culture, I don't think that there's any getting around it, that it starts with hiring and making sure that you're getting the right person. So, you know, what impact does hiring for culture versus just capability have on that long-term, you know, team performance, retention, you know, all that stuff?
Yeah. So I think there's a few. One of them is the world becomes your hiring playground. If you get beyond just hiring for skill, like we were talking about earlier, you know, everything you do, I distinctly remember being one time at Academy and meeting someone who just had outstanding, like was finding joy in their job at Academy, like not the funnest place to work in the world, but he like walked me to the place, did it. And I was like, I got that guy's number. And I was like, look, I'm going to keep you in mind if we ever have any position. I don't care what it was in our agency. I wanted this person there. So you find yourself in a place where you're looking out for more than just like, oh, I heard this guy is leaving this dealership. I'm going to get him. You know, you're hiring for different things. So it opens up your perspective for hiring. But another thing is that we've experienced tremendous amount of employee retention when you have the right fit. Like when you hire for someone, like let's, you know, just use another example aside from me, Michelle, who maybe a lot of people listening to this might have met, who's our director of SEO right now, or whatever we call her. She's our SCR super guru. She came into this company knowing nothing about SEO. And because we developed a self where we were like, we recognize your character and we reward on that and we're letting you lead yourself. She's grown tremendously in there and she's been with us for years, you know? So I think you end up with a higher retention level and you have a broader source to hire from.
Yeah. You know, when we hired Michelle, Michelle was supposed to just be my assistant. And, you know, that was going to be like checking my, you know, helping with my emails and, you know, making sure that I stayed on track with my tasks and all that. And during that time, I was the head of SEO. I was the one who was actually doing that work. And, you know, I just started like teaching her how to do these things. You know, I would teach her a little bit, teach her a little more, teach her a little more. And before, you know, it was over with, she could do everything that I could do. I didn't even go into it with the intention of making that happen. And it wasn't that long ago that I realized just how much she has surpassed me. You know, SEO is one of my passions. I love keeping up with it. And, you know, still to this day, I'm pretty strong with SEO. But I found myself going to her and saying, hey, what are you seeing with this? The way that it went from years ago of, you know, her being hesitant to give me an answer, or the answer, you know, would be, you know, kind of on the basics or whatever. Now she's just like spitting fire. And I was like, man, how that has improved my life to be able to do that. So, you know, for that shop owner who is still turning wrenches, or that has graduated from turning wrenches to now working the counter. I mean, it took years. You can over time train somebody to replace you. And when that person has that great character, then that's going to make a big impact on the company culture.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, something that we as a standard for us for hiring now is we use the DISC assessment, right? Or and there's Colby, like you guys have probably heard about some of these things, but it's just a standard thing now. They're fun, first off. Like people go do this stuff on social media on their own, like what kind of dragon are you? I don't know, whatever it is. So that's a little bit of a silly way, but it's amazing how accurate those things are, right? Like Brian's reads like him, you read mine, it reads like me, but it's really helpful to learn about what motivates the people that you're hiring. You know, we joke or we don't joke like the stigma for Gen Z and stuff like that is they're not money motivated. I beg to differ with a lot of these generalities, but it's true though. You do find that people are motivated by different things. Like some people really care about titles. So, but other people, like, just even knowing what they want in life, just huge. It's a huge humanizing thing. But I think those tests really help for you to understand. And also to not put you, if you hired a service advisor who ranked really low in communication, like, that would seem dumb, right? So these tests, I think, also really help to show what the character actually is, rather than you just going on your gut, you know, like, the character is kind of a general word. So I think that's a cool tool as well.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss offers real solutions backed by real experience. Simply put, it's shop management software that works your way. When customers are in the lobby and cars are on the lift, you don't have time for a learning curve. That's where ShopBoss comes in, with profit-boosting features that work the way you need them to right out of the box. From built-in DVI to robust, customizable reporting, ShopBoss makes everything about running a shop work more smoothly. Plus, with their Boss Pay Payments feature powered by 360 Payments, you can enter the era of totally paperless payments. From text to pay, remote payments, and consumer financing options, to compliance, surcharging, and now even offering PayPal and Venmo options. Everything is built right into ShopBoss. Plus, everything is backed by a fantastic support team with one goal in mind: your success. Be the boss with ShopBoss. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. So we probably should have talked about this already, but, you know, a lot of people think that culture is just a buzzword. It is a bit of a, it's used as a buzzword. I'll say it that way, but it's so much more than that in reality. How would you define, like, when we're talking about culture, the way that we're talking about it, how would you define culture for a shop owner?
I think it's work environment. It's what it feels like to work in your place of business. And this is one of those things that, like, what your answer is going to be different than what people's answers are. I don't know if you've seen Tommy Boy. This is a little bit of an older reference, but classic. You and I have seen it, but maybe some of the younger people haven't seen it. But there's a hilarious quote in that movie that I can't necessarily repeat here, but he's trying to say something where he says, I could get a good look at a T-bone steak by sticking my head up something on a bowl, but wouldn't you rather take my word for it? I'm saying that quote here. We're going to have to, like, link to the actual clip because it's funny. But your culture is what your team says about you when you're not there. Like, that's what culture is. Like, hey, you work at Shop Marketing Pros? What's that like? You know, if they answer that in front of you, Brian, or me, they're going to say something different. But that, I think, is the ultimate definition of culture, is what people say about where you work. And I said the word environment very specifically because there's workplaces where you go, punch the clock and leave, versus are you a place that people look forward to go, that they feel they can grow with? So that is what culture is how you are defined by the people who work there, not how you define it yourself.
I saw something the other day that said that culture is how your team feels on Sunday night.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, people, there's that other thing. It's like, do you have a job or do you have a career? Like, there's, are you fostering a place that people are enjoying go to work? Like, we, one of our core values is happiness. It's high up there. You know, our employees happy about working there. So it's these little bits of all sorts of things. I think that people get confused with culture, though, thinking, like, how many games are we playing? Like, culture can be, it's hard. I mean, there are things, we do lots of stuff that we would associate as part of our culture at Shop Marketing Pros that are uniquely us. But like the nickname thing, it grows over time organically. And it's just part of everything that makes your shop unique. And it's going to be, again, good or it's going to be bad. So
we talk about it from a standpoint of internal. How does culture play in when you're talking about the external, as far as, like, the view of your business that people have, and when your clients come into your shop, what they experience? How does culture play into that?
I think it's one of those things that it's kind of like we talk about with social media. It's in effect you, but it's hard to put your finger on quite how it is. I think your customer base picks up on your culture. Like when they're a shop that people really like to go to, if the culture is strong, it permeates into everything. I will tell you, as marketers, it also makes our life a lot easier. You know, it's very hard to talk about, particularly again in social media, to talk about a shop that has just nothing interesting about it. They don't do anything. So examples of culture, for instance, you know, do you guys have a team meeting every week or month or something like that? Would be something that I would call part of culture. Or do you celebrate each other's wins? Do you celebrate any sort of like family stuff? Is there anything that goes on outside of work? There's a lot of ways to consider this. When you have more stuff going on, it makes you more interesting. It's like going on a date with someone. You're sitting across the table from them. You're like, so what do you like to do for fun? Nothing. Yeah. Well, what's your job like? You know, it's not worth talking about. Like, that's not as interesting a person to them. So I think that comes across there. We talked about employee retention. So I think it's a very practical reason for culture. But here's another take on it that has impacts on the business. And you can speak to this personally, Brian, is that being an owner of a business is a very lonely place to be. And developing a culture is also developing people with business buy-in that helps ease the strain of owning a business, which when the owner of the company is feeling more chilled and their culture improves, and that opens you up to be able to do more stuff to grow the business. So,
you know, it's funny, we're talking about building great teams and the discussion has completely gone to culture, but the two really are synonymous. You know, so as far as building a team, you know, getting, we're an EOS company again, so, you know, we talk all the time about right people, right seat. What are some steps that shop owners can take to attract those right people to be able to get into those seats?
Well, okay. So this is very EOS stuff, Entrepreneurial Operating System. They should give us a kickback for such the promotion. But it's true. Like anything you're going to do with building a great team has to have some sort of system behind it. Now you're talking to an integrator, so I love me some systems and organization and stuff like that. But probably the very first thing that we learned from EOS is to commit to core values. Like you cannot talk about building a great team and promote like, hey, you should come work here or whatever without understanding who you are. And that's core values. And the classic EOS example is like every company will do a thing where they'll sit down and make core values, slap them on a wall, put them in a desk, and that's the end of it. As opposed to like truly living from by your core values. So for instance, we have our Shieldy Awards, our core values, S-H-I-E-L-D. I'm sure you've talked about it in this podcast plenty. But we actually have a system where employees can nominate each other based on what the core value is. So D would be dedication. You know, they went above and beyond that kind of stuff. So it becomes part of the way that it's reinforced with the employees who work here. We hire based on those. And a lot of this stuff becomes the language of the business. The things we say and stuff like that, it becomes part of it.
I think that that's probably been one of the most impactful things that we have done from a team building standpoint, from a culture building standpoint, is to start hiring based on our core values, because that has eliminated so many problems before they ever even had the chance, you know, to come up. So, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about that process of hiring based on core values.
Yeah, sure. So this is where the another shout out to Kim goes. She's really taken over a lot of the hiring stuff. But I know part of the process is that, well, first of all, we put our core values front and center on our website. I believe there's a video of you talking about the core values on the website. So it's like if anybody comes to our website, whether they're a potential customer, a shop, or potential employee, they all are seeing how important these are. We're backing them up, you know. But before they even come to the interview, like, hey, go to this page. We really want you to know. And I think at some point in the interview process, we'll ask them like which one of these most resonates with you. We've written out. So S for us stands for synergy. We write questions like, what do we mean by synergy? How do you enjoy working by yourself? Or do you enjoy working with other people? What's a time where you helped another team member out? Like it helps define what we ask people. Like it just goes on and on, man. And then, like I said before, we are reinforcing this throughout. I mean, you yourself, Brian, give us a speech every quarterly meeting going over these things. You cannot go over these things enough. You tell them how they're important. you know, how they're part of our story, where we're going, and we just live them every day.
Yeah, and if anyone who's listening wants to see what JR's talking about, go to our website, shopmarketingpros.com, and down in the footer, there's a link to the core values page. And just as important as hiring based on our core values, we will also fire based on our core values. And, you know, if you all right, so we're talking about building great teams. Now, you can build a team of just killers at, you know, whatever. Like, you know, they might be killers at fixing cars. They are the best of the best when it comes to fixing cars. But they're always in the shop fighting with each other, and there's always drama or whatever. But each of them individually is just amazing at fixing cars. Well, that might be great for your bottom line, and it probably won't be, honestly, but maybe it is in a perfect situation. Maybe it's great for the bottom line, but it's going to be horrible for your sanity and everyone else who works there's sanity. It's just not going to be a place that you want to live or, you know, work or own. But like, if you look at our core values, the H stands for happiness. There's a lot of things where we've made decisions based on that happiness core value. And if we have a person inside of the business that is just killing everyone else's happiness, then we will fire that person. We go by the motto, hire slow, fire fast. And we've taken some criticism about that before. There was a post that Kim did about it on our business page a long time ago, and a couple of people came in there kind of ripping us about that. But if you really think about it, and also every one of the people who was ripping us, they were employee. They were not an owner or a manager or someone who, you know, would be someone on leadership in the business. So they were coming at it from a different point of view. But hire slow, fire fast. When you hire slow, you're making sure that you have the right person in the business. And when you fire fast, what we mean by that is at the point that you know that that person needs to go, you don't let them just sit in the business and fester, because that is exactly what happens in a lot of cases, is that people, you know, shop owners, they feel a loyalty, or they're just like too scared of conflict to fire somebody, and they're literally being held hostage by that person in their business that needs to be fired. So it's not about firing somebody just because they make a mistake. You know, they make a mistake and up, oh, nope, you're gone, you're done, fire them. No, that's not what we're talking about. It is, this person has been given every opportunity to be able to do a great job in the business. We have worked with them, we have mentored them, but we have gotten to the point that right now, at this point, we know that they are not going to be a long-term person in this business. They're not living by our core values. They're not somebody that we want to work with for years to come. At the point that you know that, they don't get to stay in the business for another week or two. You fire fast. The decision has been made. That person needs to go. Anytime that happens within in our business, within an hour, that person is gone.
Yeah. And there's two things I want to add to that. So back to EOS again, once you have your core values established, there's a really cool tool called the accountability chart. What's it called, Brian? The people analyzer. Thanks. It's basically like a scorecard that you just put your core values and then you put a plus, minus. Plus, they're doing great at that core value. Plus, minus, they could use some work. Minus is you only get so many minuses and it's an immediate fire. So having core values gives you a grading metric. Like, the problem I think a lot with this is that having the confidence that, like, I don't know, are they really messed up that bad? Well, they do good work, so maybe it's not that big a deal. When you have a framework, back to that organization thing, that's why we like EOS so much. It's like, you know, a lot of these concepts are true, but you need some sort of framework to back them up. So that's like, well, there you go. If you fail a test, you fail the class. You fail a test, you don't get to keep your job. And it also gives you a way to have conversations about that so you can do it. And the other thing about that, and this, I know you've experienced this many times in your life, Brian, I've seen it too, is that we get so worried from, you know, a leadership standpoint of like, what's the staff going to think? Like, oh my gosh, this person is like a workhorse. They're doing all this stuff. They're going to think we're crazy for letting it go. We get so worried about what others think. And what always happens? They say, why didn't you do it sooner?
Why did it take you so long?
Why didn't you do it sooner? You worry more than it is. And people are like, dude, come on. We've been waiting for you to do that. So that's usually how it ends up going.
Yeah, we have never once fired someone and had anyone in the business who was mad that that person got fired. It's never happened. So speaking of these frameworks, you know, yes, we are EOS enthusiasts, to say it very, very lightly. You know, you've built and led teams under these EOS, you know, the rules of EOS. What EOS principles or tools, you know, like you mentioned the people analyzer, but what other tools do you think are like the most powerful ones for shops that want to strengthen their team dynamics?
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to sign up to EOS to use those things. You can read the book Traction and you'll get the most, you can watch a YouTube video and get what it is. There's one that really like everybody loves. So a lot of this stuff is not just empowering the leader. It's empowering everyone in the team to feel like they have a voice. And there's something called IDS in there. It's part of when you have these meetings, they call them level 10 meetings. Everybody rates it a 10, like they're great. But the part of it that's everybody's favorite is IDS, which means identify, discuss, and solve. So everybody in your shop has complaints, you know, their things. And you end up like talking about it, but nothing ever happens. So the IDS is a specific thing where if you didn't use EOS, you would have a list where people like, this is a problem, we all agree, or I can bring this problem there. And then we have a time where we all get together in this meeting and we have it broken up by departments and stuff now, but let's just say it was your whole team and you're sitting there and you're like, okay, guys, we are going to talk about this until it is solved, until we agree it's solved. We're going to identify what's truly going on here. We're going to discuss it until, you know, we come to some sort of solution. That's the S. And then we're going to give to-dos and that's it. We're not talking about it anymore after we solve it. So that has been probably the biggest game, the thing that really, I mean, we've done a lot of EOS stuff. We've got accountability charts that are very helpful and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's the thing that will get people addicted to EOS is like you start seeing, that's what's called traction. You feel like you're spinning your wheels. You start seeing the needle move like, well, we solved that problem. We solved that problem. And it's just like the snowball effect. That's pretty awesome.
Well, and the beautiful thing about it is that these things get solved before they really become a problem. That's, you know, why in EOS it's called an issue. And it's like, all right, this is an issue. It hasn't become a problem, like a major problem yet. And every single week we're going through and solving these issues before they become big problems. And that, there's no doubt that that makes any company that runs on EOS a better place to work because people aren't faced with these huge problems.
We talked earlier about this shared language that's part of culture. Like, doesn't matter if you want to or not. It's just like being in a family. You've got your like pet names and the things you say, whatever. There's a language in your business, and this gives it a framework that everybody uses the same language. Like for us, it's nothing to hear someone like, let's IDS that later. And it sounds like corporate jargon a little bit, but everybody knows that there's a time. Rather, you know, what it does culturally is it keeps people from standing around complaining around the water cooler about a thing. They all have a way. Like, we're all going to get together and it's an open forum. We want you to talk about the issues so we can solve them. So it really like is one of the things that really immediately changes the entire culture of a business to be like, we're working together to solve issues. We recognize them and let's solve them. I like that a lot.
So what else beyond the IDS?
So VTO is another thing, the Vision Traction Organizer. This is more from a business planning perspective. Like, you know, a lot of our listeners will be working with coaches or not. They might just have, you know, their accountant or the bookkeeper or whatever. The Vision Traction Organizer was pretty cool because it's a framework for basically like, all right, what are we going to do this year? What are we going to do in 3 years? What are we going to do in 10 years? It's also where you put your core values and stuff like that. We spend a lot of time. In fact, you and I, Brian, are going on Monday with the rest of the leadership team. And we spend several hours as part of this, just going over what is our game plan. That's a cool part of it. And it's very well defined, basically what I just said in short form. But then we bring that back to the team and it's very empowering. And I think it gives your team a lot of confidence to be like, they know what they're doing. They're not flying by the seat of their pants. We come and we present this thing to them and say, hey guys, in 3 years, this is going to be what our revenue looks like. This is going to be what the team's growth is going to look like. It forces you to lay that stuff out. And thereby, it lets everybody know like, all right, we're in good hands. They've got some sort of plan.
One of the things that I personally love about the VTO is being transparent about our finances. like that's the thing that so many business owners want to hold, you know, to their chests. They're like, oh, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want my employees to know what our revenues are or what our profit margins are or any of that kind of stuff. And I have had like multiple discussions where people are on our team are like, I can't believe that y'all share that with us because no other company I've, you know, ever worked with does it. And, you know, that they appreciate knowing those things. It allows them to be bought into the business side of the business and say, oh, you know, our profit margin is this and we really want it to be this. Okay, let's go get that.
Yeah. I mean, back to that environment, right? You want everybody, the EOS languages, you want everybody on the boat rowing in the same direction. When you don't have that, you feel like everybody's doing their own thing and the boat's going around in a circle like that. That's one of those things that you do that gets everybody like feeling like we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. And they talk about BHAGs, right? The big, hairy, audacious goal, like this thing that's supposed to be this big reach that everybody can buy into. There's a lot of parts of it that are really neat. But I think I'm a sales guy. So coming back from that perspective, one of the greatest honors you can get in a sales call is for the person to say, you know what? No one's ever asked me that question before. That's a really high honor, you know, because it shows that you're taking them down a path rather than just the typical thing. I would reverse that here and say one of the biggest honors you can get from your employees is them to say, no business I've ever worked at has ever given this level of clarity before, has ever volunteered this information before.
Yeah, Haley was telling us that, you know, this has been a while. She was telling us that she and Caroline were having a discussion one day and, you know, that she had said to Caroline, I don't think I could work for another company after working here. And it was because of EOS. And yeah, that was one of those things like you're talking about where it's like, wow, that's quite an honor to hear that.
Yeah. And, you know, we're giving a lot of credit to EOS here, but I want to say something like we did well for half a decade without EOS. We dabbled in it a little bit, but we didn't fully commit to it. And I want to give credence to you. Like the only way any of this stuff works, growing culture, growing teams is always driven by the leader, driven by, we call him the visionary. You call it the owner, the founder, whatever you want it to be. And somewhere along the line, that person has to let go of control a little bit, and which is very hard for people. If you're brave enough to start a business, you're not great at giving up control. So that is where I think it all starts.
I have to admit, there are some things where I, you know, let go of something kicking and screaming the whole time. I mean, the most intense argument, if you want to call it an argument, that you and I have ever been in was over an employee that did not fit our culture and I wanted to continue working with him and you didn't. You know, there have been things like that, that as the owner, you know, I'm looking at it from a revenue standpoint or, you know, we've got to get this work done. And you and Kim, because it was both y'all in this situation, holding me accountable to a much bigger picture of you can't continue to work with this person because it's killing our culture and that's going to cost us way more in the long run. You know, so it is hard to do. Like, it's really hard to do. But after you do the stuff for a while, you get to a point where you start to trust it. And it's like, man, I don't want to do this, but every other thing that we have done through this system has worked. So I'm just going to trust that it's going to work and you let go of it. And it's hard. Starting with the financial commitment to working with an implementer, you know, the first couple of times that we went, I was so ticked off when I would write that check at the end because, I mean, it costs more than a freaking attorney. But by the third time that we went, I was just like, shut up and take my money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've made amazing strides. I just want to underscore the baby steps aspect of this. We're talking about something, and it sounds great what we've built, but it took us legitimately over a decade to do, and just little things over time. And sometimes we slid back, you know, sometimes we didn't make the right hire, and that lasts for a while. You know, you don't like, despite the hire slow, fire fast kind of thing, you still, you know, making commitments, you will make mistakes, you will slide back into old habits and that kind of stuff. But I think a lot of this part of it is just, I mean, even if it's not EOS, it's recognizing that you need to build a team, you know, at least one other person to help you make leadership decisions. It's just a lot of pressure, a lot of anxiety doing it and having other people's perspectives. Like our leadership team now has grown to 5 people and it took us a long time to get there. This is still very recent. And I'm still amazed because for the longest time, it was you, me and Kim making a lot of decisions. and getting some of these other people in there, and they constantly come up with stuff that the three of us, I wouldn't have come up with. So, and you know, just letting them lead, like letting them grow. It's neat to see the evolution of it, but a lot of it starts with that first step of relationship, just a little bit of control.
You know, a shop owner goes through the process. It's going to take them years. All right. They get to the point where they are hiring the right people. They get to the point where they're firing the wrong people. And I cannot understate how important that part of it is. And I know for those of you who are listening, how hard that part is, but regardless how difficult it is to hire qualified people to do the job that you need them to do, when you have that toxic person, you've got to get them out of your business at all costs. Get them out of your business. But they have started hiring the right people, firing the wrong people. They're really building a team that has gelled and, you know, things are just going well. What does that start to look like in the business when you have that right team and that strong culture in place?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, so I talk a lot to shops and my team does as well. As I was the guy on the other end of the phone for a lot of people calling saying, hey, help me with marketing, Shop Marketing Pros. And, you know, in those conversations, I'll often talk about like, what do you want? What's the goal for this business? You know, we're not a coaching company, but you can't have conversations about where do you want your marketing to take you to without knowing where do you want to go? And a lot of that stuff is, you know, business owners is like, I feel like I'm chained to a job. I need to step back. I need to be able to either breathe or to focus on the things that no one else can focus on that only I'm qualified to do. So if you can build that team, I think number one is that. And I put it in terms like this, if you ever want to go on vacation and not think about the business at all, that's what a successful team looks like, is you being able to do this. And I know, Brian, you've experienced this yourself. Like you joke often that you go somewhere and the place works better without you, which has some merit to it because classic visionary stuff is like, hey, guy, you know, just like everybody, I want to talk to you about something. I got an idea. Like you're, yeah, a little bit, that's part of your job and stuff like that. But truly, you've experienced this where you're able to just step away and all pistons are firing. Stuff is not breaking because you've developed a team that is self-sustaining and like, can solve their own problems, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think about, you know, something that just happened like a month ago. You know, Cam and I went on a vacation. We went down to the British Virgin Islands and went island hopping with some friends. Amazing vacation. But like one of the very first days of the vacation, one of our team members who was having some health issues resigned because she needed to be able to go focus on her health. While we were gone, we didn't tell anyone to do this or anything, but our team, as a matter of fact, Kim's assistant, you know, which Kim handles all the HR, Kim's assistant was only a week in at this point. She was a brand new assistant because, and this is becoming an episode about EOS, but because of EOS and the systems and the processes that are put in place, her brand new assistant, along with two people, you know, on our leadership team, Haley and Caroline, without us asking, just began the hiring process. And the job got posted. The first round of interviews got done. The second round of interviews got done. And when we got back, they were able to tell Kim, hey, we've already done all of this and they're ready for the last interview for you to do. And honestly, I don't think I know if it had been a longer vacation. Let's say that we had decided to go backpack Europe for a month, which we're going to do that at some point. But if we had decided to do that, I'm certain that they would have just made the decision and hired the person on their own. And we had nothing to do with that. The business never skipped a beat. We hired an amazing person for that role. And it's like, I mean, Kim and I both were like, wow, this stuff works.
Yeah. And there's two parts to that. Like one, it's taking you a long time to get to the point where you trust, like that's a lot of trust. There is legitimate money involved with hiring someone like that, you know, whatever. But the other part of it is that people can only do those kinds of things. Doesn't matter if the system's super great or not. If they can only do it is if they feel confident that they're not going to get in trouble for thinking for themselves. And that's really what culture, shop, whatever, is that you're building a team that feels empowered.
I know we're getting ready to close this out, but you brought up something there that I think is really important to talk about. I will take credit for this one. You have to allow people to make mistakes. You know, when somebody makes a mistake, if you like go off on them, you know, you're screaming, you're ranting. And I've seen this happen. I've seen these, you know, quote unquote leaders who act that way when somebody makes a mistake. Then all of a sudden, everyone's afraid to make a mistake. When a mistake does happen, they fear for their job. They will try everything they can to cover it up. And that's a terrible situation for both you and your client. You know, when somebody's trying to cover up a mistake, you think about it, that in the auto repair world, somebody's trying to patch something together or whatever, and it's just a disaster waiting to happen. So you have to allow people to make mistakes without the fear that that mistake is going to come back on them, you know, in some way. You know, if you have somebody that is repeatedly making the same mistake over and over, then obviously you have an issue there that has to be addressed. But mistakes are mistakes. And like enabling people to do their job without the fear of what might happen to them if they make a mistake is going to make them a much, much better teammate.
Yeah, for sure. You are very good about that. And you always have been about letting people fail forward. Like, you know, you can't grow without, but there's so many books that talk about like the only growth comes from struggle. So like it's failure is only a stepping stone to success. So that is true. But again, you can't build that confidence in your team. Or you, like if you did that and totally took your foot off me, like you guys do your own thing, that's the opposite end of it. So it's a little bit at a time.
Well, man, I think this has been good. Like I hope the people listening to it will take it to heart and, you know, go build those amazing teams, get the toxic people off of your teams. And I know it's a challenge to hire, but you'll find the right person. Get rid of the toxic people. You'll never find the right people if you don't get rid of the toxic people. So, hey, thanks for being on with me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was fun.
For our listeners, remember, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com. I hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.